The biggest pension fund in the world is looking at Bitcoin, and BlackRock begins asset tokenization on Ethereum. Good morning. You're listening to the Rise in Crypto podcast by Cointelegraph with me, Robert Baggs, steering you through the crypto cosmos with daily dispatches from the digital frontier. If you want to Occam's razor your way to the front of the pack in crypto, make sure you click that follow button. Okay, grab yourself a coffee and let's get into it. Today's episode has the full spectrum of emotion, as we have the good, the bad, and the frankly confusing. First, we're going to do a Bitcoin rundown of the past 24 hours. Then we're going to look at how a BitMEX whale tanked the BTC price on the exchange. Both the victims of FTX and Sam Bankman-Fried's lawyers have written statements to the judge ahead of SBF sentencing. And BlackRock begins asset tokenization with the launch of the Digital Liquidity Fund. Right, your morning Bitcoin breakdown. The price continued to fall yesterday and overnight, bottoming out at 17.5% down from its all-time highs as we wait for the outcome of the Federal Open Market Committee meeting, which is today. Though very few seem to believe that that's the driving force behind this correction. What's probably closer to the truth is the spot Bitcoin ETFs have chalked up a second consecutive day of net outflows, according to data from Farside, with a total of around $500 million exiting in the past two trading days. TED Talks Macro wrote on X, "Traders taking a wait-and-see stance pre-FOMC or just getting out, plus tax season in the US being potential reasons for the slowdown. Regular programming will resume, but some chop first." However, there's one potentially enormous piece of positive news that surfaced yesterday in an announcement out of Japan. Japan's Government Pension Investment Fund, or GPIF, is looking at various investment diversification tools in response to, and I quote, "major changes in the economy and society and rapid technological progress." A five-year research plan is in place to explore new methods of investment, and they're looking at precious metals such as gold and cryptocurrencies such as Bitcoin. Although there are of course no guarantees that the research will yield any investment in Bitcoin or other cryptocurrencies, they are openly looking into it. So on the face of things, that sounds rather boring and low impact. Here's why it isn't. GPIF is a big deal. Established in 2006 by the Japanese government, GPIF is the largest pension fund in the world and has a total of $1.54 trillion in assets under management. And it's not the first time a government pension fund has been circling the crypto industry in one way or another. In November 2023, South Korea's National Pension Service announced the purchase of over 280,000 shares of the United States company Coinbase. So it's early days, but this announcement has people daydreaming about inflows that would be visible from the International Space Station. Although this next story is Bitcoin related, it warrants its own section by virtue of how bizarre it is. The cryptocurrency derivatives exchange BitMEX has started investigating unusual activity after users reported some unexpected trades that caused Bitcoin's price to crash on the platform. At around 1 a.m. UTC, an unknown entity, but a bona fide whale, sold 400 BTC over the course of around 2 hours using BitMEX BTC to Tether spot market, and they'd done so in batches of around 10 to 50 BTC. This is far more than the exchange is used to. Looking at data on CoinGecko for March, BitMEX has fluctuated between around $200,000 and $700,000 in daily trading volume before spiking to $60 million yesterday. This anomaly caused Bitcoin's price on the exchange to briefly dump to, wait for it, $8,900. BitMEX started disabling withdrawals, which naturally rattled the community, to which the exchange replied, "Just to clarify, we have not disabled withdrawals for all users, but only for a few accounts that are part of this investigation." BitMEX also added to Cointelegraph that the trading platform is operating normally, all funds are safe, and they said, "We launched an investigation as soon as we noticed unusual activity on our BTC USDT spot market. Despite all of our systems operating normally, we identified aggressive selling behavior involving a very small number of accounts that exceeded expected market ranges. Our compliance is thoroughly investigating relevant individual accounts and will keep our users appraised of any necessary measures in the future." So I spoke to our markets expert, Marcel Petchman, to get his thoughts on this story.
So what do you know about the Bitcoin Tether book on BitMEX? Well, it's a relatively small exchange in terms of volume, doing $500,000 per day, so not really liquid. So sure, when you try to sell maybe $2 million or $5 million in a single day, especially in a very short of time, it's definitely going to do an aggressive move on price because the book wasn't prepared to handle such volume. Seeing that BitMEX was trading at an 80% discount and $50 million traded the volume, some other traders might got desperate and sold their position. It's surely not a retail trader, surely not a small position. Doesn't matter if it was done on purpose or not. It may have triggered other sales that helped the market to crash.
On the 28th of March, just 8 days from now, Sam Bankman-Fried, the former CEO of the collapsed exchange FTX, will be sentenced. As we near that date, some victims of FTX have issued statements to the judge about its impact on them. One statement, with the name redacted for privacy reasons, reads, "We entrusted FTX with our hard-earned savings, believing in the integrity of the platform and the digital assets it facilitated. However, the abrupt downfall of FTX has not only resulted in a substantial financial loss of over $19,000 at current prices, but has also shaken the very foundation of our trust in the digital asset space." They added, "The repercussions of this event extend beyond mere numbers. The emotional and psychological toll has been equally devastating, impacting our relationship and future planning." Several of the other statements also discuss this emotional toll and damage to personal relationships, often calling for SBF to be punished accordingly. There's been this narrative that's been put forward by SBF's defense that no damage was done and that victims were made whole, with assets still remaining in the estate. But Mohsin Meji, plan administrator for the BlockFi wind-down debtors, said, "Bankman-Fried's efforts to pretend they have suffered no harm are insulting and should be rejected." Prosecutors have recommended that Judge Lewis Kaplan ought to sentence SBF to 40 to 50 years in prison, while SBF's lawyers have suggested just 6.5 years. Experts on this have said that the judge is unlikely to impose the maximum sentence on Bankman-Fried, but that he may consider victim impact statements at sentencing. How much of a difference they realistically make is hard to say. SBF's lawyers called a 50-year prison sentence a medieval view of punishment, and yesterday they too wrote to Judge Kaplan, saying, "With marked hostility, the memorandum distorts reality to support its precious loss narrative and casts Sam as a depraved supervillain." They added, "We have yet to identify a federal defendant convicted of a non-violent offence who served a 40 to 50-year sentence and was released," adding that, "Crushing Sam in this way is unnecessary." So it remains to be seen which side is going to sway the judge, but the next 45 days or so will see the two most high-profile crypto sentencing we've ever seen, with SBF at the end of March and then CZ, the co-founder of Binance, at the end of April. BlackRock has become a crucial part of the crypto ecosystem since the spot Bitcoin ETFs, whether the crypto natives want to admit it or not. BlackRock CEO Larry Fink has been pretty bullish on Bitcoin, albeit with some reservations, and now the world's largest asset manager is moving forward with something Fink has discussed before: asset tokenization and the launch of the Digital Liquidity Fund. After the ETFs were approved in January, Fink told Bloomberg, "We believe the next step going forward will be the tokenization of financial assets, and that means every stock, every bond will all be on one general ledger." Adding that, "Every investor, you and I, will have our own number, our own identification. We could rid ourselves of all issues around illicit activities about bonds and stocks and digital by having tokenization. We would have instantaneous settlement. Think of all the costs of settling bonds and stocks, but if you had a tokenization, everything would be immediate because it was just a line item. We believe this is a technology transformation for financial assets." So now BlackRock has filed with the SEC for the BlackRock USD Institutional Digital Liquidity Fund, having created it last year under the jurisdiction of the British Virgin Islands. The fund will have a $100,000 minimum investment, and the size of the fund is listed as indefinite. The fund will be tokenized on the Ethereum blockchain with an ERC-20 token called BUIDL, which currently has one holder and a $0 on-chain market capitalization, according to Etherscan. Etherscan does, however, also indicate that the fund received a transfer of $100 million on the 4th of March. I wholeheartedly agree with Fink, and I think this is the first step in transforming financial assets. But what do you think? Share your thoughts with us on @Cointelegraph and @RKBags on X. Okay, that is you caught up for today, but there's one more thing I want to bring up, Cointelegraph has just released The History of Crypto. It is a visual timeline of all major events that have happened in crypto across all sectors, from regulations to NFTs to hacks to GameFi. And I can say that from behind the scenes, this has been worked on by a lot of people for a long time. And as I had no hand in it, I can say without bias, this is a masterpiece. I'm going to link it in the description below. Go have a play with it. It really is incredible. I've not seen anything like this before, and it's going to be an unbelievable resource. Okay, but that is it for today. So consider yourself informed. Thank you for listening to the Rise in Crypto podcast by Cointelegraph. If you're enjoying these daily updates, please make sure you let us know by following, subscribing, or leaving a review. Have a great day. Let's do this again tomorrow.